years ago, I went to the marina plant and we talked to their executive director, and he said, well, we only run at night, the power costs less. And my wife can always tell when it's running because the water tastes good.
Any other comments? Moving on to the new preliminary cost for the project.
I think we wanted action on that.
Oh, okay.
We should get a motion.
You want a motion to approve what the report?
I make a motion.
Second. Any comments? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. We have a vote to the new cost.
Right, so at the last task force meeting, we were asked to come back with an updated estimate that the real issue that to me was for final design construction of the project. So what you see here is starting in 2014-15, should the project be forward, and just looking at the cost associated with final design and everything, and then the construction. At the top group, there's still the project management components, and there's staff from the city and the district, as well as the on-site services of Kenya Jakes. A couple of things I wanted to point out. I guess first and foremost is similar to the every time we bring budget estimates to you, there really is a range. We're at somewhere between 5% and 30% design on each of the different components, and so with that, you're going to get an accuracy range. And at this point, that range is kind of the stuff before, like -15 to +20. And it can vary depending on where you are in design.
+25.
And then you also apply an estimating contingency, which we have 30% and 35%. So those are large numbers to apply to a project at $100 million. And it should ensure that as we hone in on the final design, those obviously be more accurate, but also within the decrease slightly. A couple other things is I did put some funding in here, which I hadn't in the past, for updating some of these studies. We have 3 studies at the bottom of the second page, the large sanitary survey, the intake study, and the division study. And the intake study, what I mean by that is, if we were to do an open ocean intake, we did our entrainment work at the wharf. And if that intake were located somewhere else, we would have to circle back and make sure that the flows were still right. So some funding in for that. And then I also have a line item from here permitting conditions. It's also on the second page, and there's a pretty much a placeholder of $2 million in there, and that's to take care of the greenhouse gas limitations. As you remember, the cost that we brought to the range from $40,000 a year to $2 million a year, depending upon the scope of the projects that we implement. So the $2 million placeholder may be too much, but we recommend that the decisions that we make in the future. So a few more unknowns there. I want to make sure I cover everything. So moving forward, in the coming year, we are going to start looking at different financing opportunities. We're going to look at different contracting opportunities. As you can see, we have construction starting on everything in 2016, which may or may not be realistic from the market. What is it?
You said 15-16.
I'm sorry, 2015-16. So that may not be possible from a financial standpoint, from a staffing standpoint. But on the other hand, if we want to do design build, if on a particular component, if we want to do design build on the whole project, we may in fact have to do that. So in the coming year, we're going to look at different contracting models and financial planning. And then a lot of the different components were designed and estimated by different consultants, and the philosophies about doing it are different. So this consultant applies 30%, this one 35%, this one picks year X as midpoint of construction, and this one year Y.
questions. You were last talking about the permitting conditions, and are we putting any set aside for the discussion about intake? That's as well. That's the first thing.
It is part of 2 million, but again, it's a placeholder. The intake conditions won't really be discussed if you need to permit.
I know, yeah.
And we have a few, maybe one project to use as a guide, but I think it's very different. So we have, that's one of the ones that I'm the least comfortable with, because there's still a lot of them.
State hasn't even set their standards yet, so.
But the good news on that is that with such, with a plan of this size, it's much easier to meet the conditions that the dealers are kind of going to talk about. And I do believe, because I've been very intimately involved through Cal Visa, the Ocean Plan Amendments, I do think that it's going to be fairly easy for this particular plan to comply because of its size. Right, and for the fact that we really haven't located the intake yet. And the location, the site of the intake is critically important to all environmental groups.
I guess that's one of the questions I still have. What are we currently looking at for the open ocean? We don't know where, we don't know exactly what's going on. Is that good?
Yeah, it has to have some tangible interest.
Somewhere, yeah.
So I think the last we talked about was the intake technical feasibility study. There was a study that went beyond that, that's going to be part of the EIR, which is called the conceptual design report for the intakes. And it took all of that, the pieces of work that were kind of advanced, and looked at, again, all the subsurface alternatives, as well as, I think we're up to 18 different intake, open ocean intake sites. And they took great care to go from San Jose River to natural grounds to work onshore and offshore to connect two locations where it would be feasible. We had 18 and we screened a number of them out, so the EIR will analyze, I think, 8 or 10 of those locations. And then also continues to analyze the rain collector, because that was the one subsurface intake that was not screened out of the time. There's going to be
selection
alternatives.
There's a lot of question marks.
I also have some questions about the division here. So my remembrance is that we had decided that the design leading up to the EIR, and the EIR itself was split 50-50, and then the actual building of the plant was this funny fraction thing. And I see that, for example, the project management is split 50-50, I mean, all the way through the entire thing.
Yeah.
Play a lot of that management as manager of all the construction and building of the thing. Also, the property purchase is also split 50-50. That seems like an integral part of the plan, too. So, that's why those came out that way. Yes.
That was not done with any intake intent.
Yeah.
Let us look at it. Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Others? Questions?
Yeah. Let me just say that the property is going to be used not only during the construction period, but during the operational period, when in fact, as in most cases at least as intended, it's not going to be a 59-41 split on a regular basis. So I don't know whether I would think that having that fractional split for the property acquisition is really in the same category as construction costs.
No, I think it's an item that has to be discussed a little bit. But if it's
so, you take the argument about the building and everything else.
I think another thing that was just talked about was to the extent that the plant, the grounds would be overbuilt so that a 3.5 or 4.5, however big, you know, pipes would get bigger, so that extra cost would clearly be borne just by the city, because that doesn't have anything to do with this plant at all.
You're talking about future?
Future extension. So to the extent that we wanted to think about that and bigger so that could happen without replacing the pipe. That extra bit, which would probably be small, could be a city.
You got it, sir?
I just wanted to just ask a little more about, under other in the report, it talks about the earlier cost estimates that were developed in 2002. So I was just trying to make sure I understood what that was really conveying, that if you took the estimates way back then and just adjusted them for kind of the inflation of that over that period, that it would end up being 84 to 120.
That's right. Yeah, due to inflation. And that's ongoing back.
That will continue to be.
That's right. Conservatively, that's 3% a year.
But so that's what I wanted to check. So you have 3% a year. But it was inflation, but in the earlier period, it seemed like you used a higher inflator, 8%.
There was a period of time where construction costs were 17%.
We're growing 17% a year. Okay, so that's, I just wanted to check. So that was based on actual historical experience during that time period.
The 8% shown here between 2002 and 2017
is for
that
time period. Got it, okay.
Now moving forward, we're assuming 3% of the cost. So we see the end of their estimate for the treatment plant. We're thinking a midpoint of construction at 2016.
But the number for the year 2016 is, in other words, if it was being built today, it would actually be a little less than what they actually did based on what they think the costs will be in 2016.
Okay. And quite understandably, people want to know, what do you think this thing's going to cost? And I think we kind of have to provide an estimate for people. But then you get beaten up when next year that number is different. I think it's important that you all know that there's two big factors in that. One is just construction costs and inflationary. But the other one is that as you get more and more design, more completion, your estimates are going to get better and better. And early on, no engineer is going to give you an estimate of cost and not pad it hugely with contingency, because they don't want it to come in way more expensive than they predicted. And so as we get down the line, so the only thing we can guarantee people when we give them a cost estimate is it's wrong. It's not going to be right. Next year is going to be different. So don't come back and criticize me for the fact that it's different. It will be different.
I think that's a good point. I think as well, we need to have our own ducks in line. So if someone asks, why is this X million dollars, then we can say, well, we pulled a number out of the air. We looked into this, we did that, and as you say, we look back at the construction figures, and 160%, so we can have justification for them that we have in there.
Yeah, I think the point that you made, Bruce, is an important one in terms of pulling out the extra costs that are related to the expansion of the phase two of the system, of the proposal, and it being clear what that additional cost is going to be. So I think that makes it more complex in terms of some of the construction costs, but I think identifying that as in a separate category will be important.
I think engineers can take a 24-inch pipeline and you size it up to 30 inches, the difference they can do. It's good an estimate as they can.
You go to a catalog.
Yeah.
So the acreage.
Exactly. Or the size of the building, concrete pad.
Other comments on this? Thank you. I think we need this number. We've been happy probably maybe 6 months or a year or so, whatever. But have we provided everything? Are we comfortable with the information you give to the EIR folks? Do we still owe them a lot of information on design and since
is this a separate topic?
And the question is, top of page 56, you mentioned strong consideration to be given to delivering an intake system to the design building. we mentioned that tonight. I know one time we tried the district, we had a horrible experience. And I was wondering why you think that should be designed differently? And how can you avoid some of the real disasters like being experienced with that?
I think particularly for this item, the intake, where it's pretty unique design and construction, we're really going to want the expertise of the contractor on the design team. And an easy way to do that is by doing a design build. So we're not saying we will do that, but we obviously conclude that that's what we have at that. I think give that a little bit more thought. You know, both practically in terms of how a designer and a builder would do it best, but also, like you're saying, can we develop contracts and implement them in a way that is going to give us a lot of heartburn there?
To the costing stuff, because you basically sign a contract without even knowing what the cost is going to be, because they tell you later. That's a spooky thing.
Yeah, I agree. And so we're going to have to become really comfortable with that. I had, when I wrote the staff report, I was pretty confident that besides design bid build, the only alternative delivery model we would look at is design build. But recent discussions with our internal finance people, at least wanting to look at financing options, so design build, operate, transfer kind of scenario, where you hire this group to come in and do it for you. So we're going to look at those two, just see what the best way to do it.
There also are ways to pay for some preliminary engineering so that you kind of understand what it is you want. When you go to design build, you have, you've already kind of thought out what your wants and needs are.
That's a good thing to do.
Questions? I left two items off on the kind of information. One of them was the EIR schedule, and it was kind of a, I would say, loosened. It said, we'll get closer one of these days to give you an estimate. And so it seemed like, well, we can get any kind of better estimates in this one figure than one.
No,
I'm not
pushing
too hard.
But I'm
going to
try really hard to come back in November. You know, we have three things that I listed in the memo are three of the driving factors here. The HCP negotiations, and you know, then you need a widespread of what our supply will look like. So dropping the how to describe that in the EIR. Because the city is now doing their long-term conservation master plan, it puts us at an odd place of estimating future conservation in the most valid way possible while describing what we're actually doing with that study. So that's been a little bit difficult to describe the EIR. And then the other one was the noise. And it's not really just the noise, it's really making sure that this EIR is consistent in every way, including noise, with the general plan of the EIR. So those are our three pretty big things that
I'm going to
find. But your question about does the consultant have all the data needed? I think so, with maybe the exception of the analysis of city conservation, long-term conservation. So we're close.
When is that going to be? 7 years.
Is what? No. Oh, no. So we're kind of trying to do this intermediate step between this EIR and the city's long-term master plan, conservation master plan, and that's the language that's being developed for the EIR. So I'm hoping by the end of October that we can conclude this one. Whereas the long-term master plan is getting up that way?
It's a ways out.
You said 12 months.
But we'll probably present, if not next month, the following month, we'll present the baseline study to the Water Commission. It's basically done. And that's the backbone of our next 10-year plan. Because it's the market study on penetration. So we know exactly where we are.
And you think that's all you need for the EIR?
Yeah, I think we can. We won't be on the money, just like we won't be on the money with the ACB. But I think we're far enough down the line we can bracket it. And that's what we're going to do for the EIR, is we're going to bracket what we think is probably the best case. And by best, I mean the least amount of water lost. And I'm not talking about the environment, but I'm just talking about least amount of water loss to most amount of water loss to the HCP. And I think we can bracket that.
Do you come?
Yeah, I was a little unclear from this report. As I remember, the last estimate for when the draft EIR would be out was going to be November. Now, what this is saying is that you'll be coming in November with an estimate of when the draft EIR will be released. So we're probably talking about sometime in the early part of the next year.
We could, especially if we recognize the holidays in this project.
Right.
Yeah. I think it would be somewhat unfair to probably to use the holiday period as whatever, 60 days or 90 days, whatever.
That's something we should talk about sometimes. How long
do we want?
Is the law 45 days of that?
Yeah. I think we talked about more than that.
That is something that probably, you know, you guys are going to need to recommend to your, I mean, that's your call.
Yeah.
If you really need to recommend it to the board of the council as to the length of the.
But I don't think we want to use holiday periods.
So should we note that that should be on the agenda for November, that we would make a recommendation on that?
That was going to be part of the.
Oh, it does. Okay, perfect.
The only other information I have is our board last night voted to approve the extension or the addition to the current agreement that we have that address how we are going to look at this from the IR standpoint and the acceptance of the IR.
Good. And council already approved that as well.
I think we're all
on the last board. Their last meeting.
Yeah.
Then you'll get a lot of work from the attorneys.
Yeah. One missing thing I noticed in the document. Talks about the public hearing, it doesn't actually mention who's going to run that meeting. Personally, I hope that
the city,
the city's mayor does.
It won't be you.
It's not mentioned whoever is doing it at all.
We'll do a point.
Well, that'll be one way to do it, but it's not mentioned anywhere as to what that is. That clearly is an important thing, running the meeting. But it's going to be a little under the surface.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yes, sir. I think it's becoming clearer that the EIR process is going to be elongated beyond what was originally conceived. And there's going to be, you know, I would hope 60 or 90 days for a public review period, time for public, you know, maybe public meetings. I think that's part of the schedule. Then there are going to be lots and lots of comments, certainly. And it's going to take a bunch of months to get the final EIR out. Then there's going to be a whole process. And the reason why I'm saying all this is that the goal, I think, is to have the election, if the city and the district decide to go forward, on the project itself in June of 2014. And it just seems to me that if that schedule is going to be met, the negotiations on these other issues, these non-EIR issues, the operating agreement, who's going to own it, who's going to own it, how it's going to be run, needs to, I think earlier it was talked about that those discussions would happen after the EIR. I think there might not be enough time given how long it's taken to do the EIR. So it might be worth talking about at the next meeting, how these other issues are going to be integrated into the schedule, given that the schedule has sort of changed in terms of how long the EIR process is going to take.
Because at one point we thought we were going to have most of 2013 to discuss these other issues, and now it looks like we'll be well into 2013 before the EIR has any potential of being finalized.
Yes.
So I suspect we'll have 3 to 6 months of responding to all of the comments. So, yeah. Anything else? Anybody else have any other issues? Personal or otherwise? Yes.
The only thing I have to say is that in last month, on the 18th, our board did adopt an updated IRP, innovative resources plan, and that there's several new things that are addressed in there. This is the new recovery could be possible that after it gets recovered, after the 20 years, it might be able to be recovered and pumped at a recovery, post-recovery hole of about 4,000 acres deep. But that would be looked at and based on adaptive management, have to change that. And the only other thing, a couple of things that was addressed was the different alternatives that would be used in lieu of a supplemental supply, either mandatory restrictions are also in that update. So it's posted on our website and we're relying on that.
Though there's service restrictions, another 35% reduction in use, so that's...
And that's not just a one-year thing, that would be for permanent, or 20 years at least.
I presume our plan B has been mentioned here, the fact that we've got an alternative if the desal plant doesn't happen, that we put together.
Yeah, those would be mandatory, it's called mandatory restrictions, plan B.
That's what you meant about the 35% reduction in use.
And we've already reduced 20% in most agencies, so now we're talking...
Additional things.
Early 2000s, but it was 100% reduction. And government happened, people had to use it.
And we've gone from 80% of our toilets being high flow down to 15%.
And also, one thing to note is that the rough estimates of that approach are likely to be more costly than what's estimated, currently estimated for the desal plant, in order to implement the...
Get that kind of reduction.
Get that, yeah, because then it's not really a guaranteed reduction, because it relies on your customers to actually cut back.
Yeah, it's been...
High signals, police, you know, water police, monthly billing.
The police in the store.
Yeah, everybody's pushing in ways that...
Police in terms.
And we're going to be rolling out a communication plan on that specifically, to meet with people one-on-one and kind of get their feedback. Very, you know, some people say, oh, we can totally do that. Some people just be like, I can't do that. And everybody has said, you need to tell this out. You need to tell more people. So, you know, as directed by the board, they said, you know, okay, well, what are we going to do with this plan? And so conservation is working on it.
Well, I would hope I think that's really helpful to have that out in the public. I would hope that as part of the EIR, the alternatives would look at that as an alternative, as well as a similar alternative for the city, in terms of what the, you know, what the plan B would be if the desal doesn't happen, because I think it's important for the public to know what the choices are.
Yeah, there's no project, but it's really not.
It is a project.
Probably a project in itself. Yeah. It follows a path of if you don't build a desal plant, there's a new project for you to do.
No project, it's all like screwed.
That's right, yeah. Did you have other items on that?
Well, actually, I mean, as you know, we're kind of in the bowl. So right. Not much report on program managers. The only thing I could report to is that your Cal Desal organization is doing their first annual conference.
Right.
And they got a lot of really good speakers. Joe Heber from Surf Riders. Friends by the Weber from the board, State Board. Tam's going to do the one in Southern California. Friends by the will do the one in Sacramento. There'll be two different ones, but they really filled the panel with a lot of people. Tom Luster from the Coastal Commission will be on. So we've got a lot of really good people, a lot of very, very different points of view. The environs and the water community and regulators. And it's going to be a nice area of the issues. It's going to be October 25, 26 in Sacramento. And then it will be, I think it's the 29th, 30th in Irvine. So it's, Cal Desal's doing a lot of good work on behalf of its member agencies. And that work is not in any way aimed at skirting regulations. That work is aimed at working with regulators and trying to create a vision for how in the world the state is going to come to terms with the fact that in its state water plan, desal is one of the strategies that the state water plan calls for in Chapter 9.
Would you talk to anybody from the south coastal cities from Los Angeles to San Diego, and then they're told by the state, you're going to get, you know, Met's only getting so much water this year, and so you're going to get this big reduction. They have no other south to go. They sit there on the coast, and there's no rivers, there's nothing.
And that's what a lot of them are grappling with.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, if you look at San Diego and the Carlsbad plant, their problem, of course, is the fact that their Colorado River allocations are drying up, literally.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Yeah, you're right. And the state recognizes desalination as a very legitimate addition to a water portfolio.
But that's the DWR side.
I'm sorry?
That's the DWR.
That's the DWR side, yes. Yes. And so, anyway, it's that'll be going on in the next couple of weeks. It's good stuff.
Next Friday, Assemblyman Kalani has requested a meeting. I think mayor's going, city manager's going, and I will be there. Give him a briefing on these hours.
Anything else?
I just have a couple of points regarding outreach since July.
A little louder.
Good.
Just
in terms of outreach, we've been participating in some community events such as the Rio's Farmers Market and Santa Cruz County Fair. We presented to some small group meetings. These are all listed on our website after we do it, so if people want to know who we meet with. Santa Cruz Realtors, we're doing a class at Cabrillo College tomorrow. Bill's going to be presenting at the Military Officers Association. And actually, last month in this room, we had a class from UC Berkeley come and kind of did a mock city council meeting, and we talked about, focused it on desal. It was really enlightening, and really kind of put a different perspective on how we're providing information and how it's received. We presented to the AWWA Desal Conference. They had two workshops, one in Northern California, one in Southern California. We presented to both, and we were also able to then tour two RO facilities, one in Newark that operates groundwater, brackish water facility, and then the one in Orange County we got to tour was the groundwater replenishment project, which is actually recycled water that you could taste, you know, you signed a waiver. And we tried it. I'm just kidding. Bill said he's presenting at Cal Desal and we'll be attending. We also worked quite a bit on the information we give to JM on the Sentinel stories, which the feedback that we've heard from a lot of the customers is that it was very informative for them, and they got a lot of information. And so people are calling and asking for more. So the word is out there, and it seems to be very fruitful. We also reached out to all of the potential city council candidates, except for you, Don, since you're really aware of these cell issues. We just wanted to let you guys know that we reached out and nobody put us on the offer. So that is what it is. And our outreach efforts now are going to continue to focus on getting ready to get the community guide rolled out when the EIR comes out. But
what is the community guide?
Community guide is more of a layperson's reader digest of the EIR. So as we start to go and meet with the public, meet with the regulators, meet with electeds and other, you know, policy people, we can show them this community guide, and instead of giving them the report or here's the link, it's kind of moving like a 20-page guide to say what the project problems are, what the project description is, what the alternatives were, and how to provide comment. And we'll be working on that, as well as really trying to answer, I think, the questions that we see coming are the economics of desal, so that will be in 2014, and also really continue so that people understand what the alternatives are, the real alternatives.
Just on a personal note, I want to thank you all for your support over the last 6 years now. And I really wish you well, and I will be around to write snippy letters to the
glad somebody's loving
you. You can do that pile like you have at your desk every time.
No.